It's impossible to talk about the parsha this week without reference to the Ptira of the Mira Shiva Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Even though the Mashgiach already expressed very eloquently before the yeshiva left for the Levaya a certain thought and a certain idea to all those Bachrim who were here when he spoke. But I'd also like to add a certain perspective to what the Mashgiach said. The Pasuk says in reference to the Patira of any individual, V'hachai Yitain Eliboy, those who survive, those who live, have to take a lesson, have to learn something. In many, many personal conversations that I've had with the Likud Mashgiach Shlita, with Matisyahu Salomon, he's repeated to me a certain idea. And he says that people often say that it was easy to be an Eved Hashem. It was easy to be a Yirei Shomayim. It was easy to be a Shema Teira Mitzvahs in the time of the Gemara. In the time of the Gemara, there was something which was called a baskoil. The Gemara very often talks of a baskoil, a voice coming from heaven. Well, obviously, says Rav Matisyahu, if you're walking down Fifth Avenue and God starts speaking directly to you and you know it's God, then obviously you take notice and obviously you'll listen and obviously you will respond accordingly. But today, when the concept of a bus girl is non-existent, we don't have that vehicle that the Ribbono Shel Olam used in times gone by. It's very difficult to connect with a Ribbono Shel Olam and with a Rotzen of the Ribbono Shel Olam. To which Matisyahu always says, it's not true. There's a bus girl today as well. The Ribbono Shel Olam talks to us. The only difference is we just don't listen and we just don't hear. Because there are events that happen. Things take place around us and it's a bus girl. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam talking to us and it's the Ribbono Shel Olam saying something to us. And we're just not listening. We're just letting it slide over our heads completely and we're taking no notice whatsoever. And unfortunately, the same is true with the concept of V'achai Yitain Eliboy. Great people pass away, G'dayli Yisrael pass away, and it goes straight out over our heads. And we don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam talking to us, and we don't take heed, and we don't take note, and we don't do anything about it, and we don't learn anything from it. Rabbi Lopin mentioned when he spoke the story that I reminded him that morning of the Levaya, of our visit to Chicago. Let me add on a few details, which I think are relevant. We had to be in Chicago. We had a bocha in yeshiva who was from Chicago. And his father called us up. He heard that we were in town and he called us up and he said, "Would you please come for a meal? Come tonight for supper." And we said, "We can't come for supper because we had a prior engagement. But when we finished what we had to do that evening, we'll certainly come by. We'll certainly come by for a coffee." V'kachava. We went to the house. We were sitting and we were talking with him. And he said, "Let me show you something interesting." And he took out a very old, today defunct and non-existent projector. In fact, he took out two projectors. One was a slide projector, which existed in times gone by. And the other one was a projector for a what was called in those days a cine camera. This was pre-video days. And he put up a screen. And first, he showed the slides. And these slides were photographs taken at the graduation of high school. If I'm not mistaken, it was Skokie. And as Rabbi Lopian said, one of these pictures was a picture of a baseball team. And then he turned around to us and he smiled and he said, "Can you identify the kids sitting in the front row holding the baseball bat?" And we both looked and we said, "No." He said, "That's Nati Finkel, my classmate, my close friend. Today," that's what he told us, and this was a few years, it wasn't so long after Reb Nosson Tzvi Zecher Tzadik Livracha had been appointed Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir. He said, "Today Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva." Then he showed us a film. And the film was a group of boys who were going to Israel for a holiday. And he said, "Who's that?" And Robert Oaken said, "That's you." And he said, "Right, very good." And then he said, "Who's that?" And we looked, and there was a kid in shorts and looked like any American high school kid. And we said, "No idea." He said, "Again, that's Nati Finkel." This trip was 2 years, if my facts are correct, prior to when Reb Nosson Tzvi Zecher Tzadik Livracha came to learn in the Mir Yeshiva. 2 years prior to him coming to learn in the Mir Yeshiva, he came on a holiday with a group of friends to Eretz Yisrael. And these boys, this was the story that this individual was telling us, all had mishpacha in Eretz Yisrael. And they decided to come together, a group of friends from high school, to Eretz Yisrael, and they stayed by their mishpachas. They stayed by their family. He, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva Zecher Tzadik Livracha, went to stay by his great uncle. His great uncle was Reb Lezer Yudel Finkel, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir prior to the war, who, B'nisei Nisim, survived the war, came here to Eretz Yisrael, and reopened the Mir Yeshiva here in Yerushalayim. And he was a great nephew, and he went to stay by his uncle. As a result of that visit, he made a decision that he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael to learn in the Mir Yeshiva. And many years later, he himself said over, on a number of occasions, what was the catalyst that made him make the decision that he's coming back to learn, even though he initially came to learn only for a limited period of time? And he used to tell over the following story. But before I tell over the story, let me explain to you who Reb Lezer Yudel Finkel was, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva. It's impossible to explain. But I can tell you two things. The Mir Rosh Yeshiva finished Shas every year because he used to learn from the time he got up until he davened Shachris, 7 blot a day. And this went on for over 50 years. When Reb Nosson Tzvi started saying Shir in the Mir Yeshiva, he said his Shir in the apartment of Reb Lezer Yudel, which had been converted into offices and a Shir room. And when he walked in the first day to say the Shir, he sat down and he smiled at the boys and he said, You know how many times Shas was finished in this room? When Reblaz Yudel was Nifta and his son-in-law, I say for Teira Achai, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, got up to be Maspid. Reb Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livracha said, I don't know how to define to you who my father-in-law Reblaz Yudel was. But I can only tell you one thing. In my understanding, Ke'echod Harishonim. That's the picture of what a Rishon was. And Reb Nosson Tzvi told over the following story. He said, I stayed by my great uncle and I slept in the room where his Sforim were. And the very first morning, at 5 a.m, I heard a noise in the room, and I looked and I saw that Reb Leiz Yudel, my great uncle, the Rosh Hashiva, had come into the room very quietly so as not to wake me up. And I played as if I was asleep. He just got up, and he walked over to the Svarim Shank. He walked over to the bookcase, and on the bookcase was a Shas, just like here. And he slowly leaned over and he kissed every single Masechta in the Shas, and then he pulled his Gemara out, and then he took it out of the room to go and learn. And Reb Nosson Tzvi said, I said to myself, if a man can have such Avas Atayra, that the first thing he does when he gets up in the morning is to go and kiss every single volume in his Shas, there must be something in this. And I've got to find out what it is. In these weeks, we're reading the Parshiyos in the Torah, which are talking about the biography of Avraham Avinu. And in last week's Parsha, we read that an individual came, Vayovei Apolit, and he told Avraham HaIvri, Avraham the Ivri, that late his nephew had been captured, and Avraham set off to rescue late. And Rashi asks, why is Avraham called HaIvri? What is this description, Avraham HaIvri? And Rashi says that Avraham was called HaIvri Shebo Me'ever HaNohor, because he originated from a town on the other side of the river. Avraham came from the other side of the river, from a place called Or Kasdim. That makes sense. When you're talking in Parshas Lech Lecha about the biography of Avraham Avinu, and you want to describe the place where the person came from, and you want to describe who he is, he's the guy from Boston. He's the guy from Connecticut. He's the guy from Ur Kasdim. He's the guy from Eivor Ano. So therefore, he's Avraham HaIvri. That makes perfect sense. He was an immigrant who came from Ur Kasdim and went to Eretz Canaan. If somebody asks you, who's your neighbor? You say, he's the Italian. He's the guy who emigrated from Italy and came to New York. But the question arises, why is it that the descendants of Avraham Avinu Lenetzach Netzachim for eternity are described as Ivrim? Why is it that when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron come to Paroi and they're trying to tell Paroi that they're coming on a Shlichus, and they're trying to explain to Paroi the Ribbono Shelem sent them, they say, Elokei ha'Ivrim, the God of the Ivrim sent us. Why is it that when the people on the boat ask Yonah Hanavi, what's your nationality? What do you do for a living? Where are you coming from and where are you going? He very proudly says, you want to know who I am? Ivri Anoichi. I'm an Ivri. V'yeserekei shamayim ani yorei. Asher osa esayom v'esayabosho. What's the chshivas to the fact that Avraham Avinu came from Avraham Noah? That so many years afterwards, we proudly say we are Ivrim. Because Ivri is not a geographical location. Ivri represents what Yiddishkeit is all about. Ivri represents an entire Hashkofas HaOlam. It represents an entire world outlook. Am Yisrael has spent a long period of time in Golus. Since the point in time that Am Yisrael have been in Golus, they have continuously and consistently been living on two sides of the river. When Avraham Avinu left Ur Kasdim, crossed the river, and came into the new place of dwelling, he came to Eretz Yisrael. He became part of his Knaini society. He became absorbed into the society of Eretz Canaan. And Avraham Avinu became part and parcel of what was going on in Canaan. He did what the Canaanim did. He built tents. He established tents. He raised sheep and cattle. He had an ongoing dialogue with the kings, with the rulers, with the clan leaders that existed in Canaan. He made treaties with them. It's all there, Mefurish, in the Chumash. He learned their language. He spoke the same language that they did. He paid his taxes, like anybody else did. It's Mefurish in the Torah that he paid his taxes. Next week's Parsha. And when it was necessary, he went to war with them to defend his adopted country. He was part and parcel of Canaan like anybody else. But simultaneously, with being part and parcel of Canaan, together with everybody else, he was still living Be'ever Hanoho. He never left the place of his roots. He never left the concept that in Ur Kasdim he made a bris with the Ribbono Shel Olam. In Ur Kasdim he got from the Ribbono Shel Olam Shlichus to go out and to represent something and to teach something to humanity. That Eivor Anor, where Avraham Avinu met the Ribbono Shel Olam and became close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Avraham Avinu took it with him when he crossed the river. The vision which the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him of establishing a new world order, of establishing a new type of society, of establishing a new type of ethical and moral norm. The dream that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him in Eivor HaNoah. He never lost that. Am Yisrael have been living in Golos year after year after year in many, many countries in the world. And they become part and parcel of the society that they live in. And they do the same things that the society does. They work professionally in the society. They pay their taxes, they live with them, they speak their language. They become part of society. The American Jew becomes an American. The English Jew becomes an Englishman. But the Jew doesn't forget that he's constantly living on two sides of the river. The Jew never forgets that he's carrying a Yerusha of Eivir Anor. He's carrying a Yerusha of Kedusha and Tyro. And that the Jew always protected. In this week's parsha, we find that Sarah, when told about the fact that she's going to give birth to a son, responds, and she says, "Ve'avron ben mi'as shona bi'valid le'is Yitzchak benoi." Avram is 100 years old and Sarah gives birth to a son, Yitzchak. Vatayim es Sarah tzchoik oso li elikim kol ha'shemea Yitzchak li. Vatayim es. And she says, "Mi milel le'avram." Who is the one who said to Avram, "Heiniko bonim Sora," that Sora will nurse children? To which Rashi asks the obvious question: why does she use the expression "Heiniko bonim Sora"? That Sora will nurse children. One son, Yitzchak, should be "Heiniko ben Sora." Why the plural "Heiniko bonim Sora"? She didn't nurse, at this point in time, more than the one child, Yitzchak, that was born. And Rashi has the question. And Rashi answers the question. And how does Rashi answer the question? By quoting a Chazal. Where is the Chazal in Maseches Bava Metzia? Rashi quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia. And Rashi says that B'yoyim HaMishteh, when Avraham and Sarah made a Mishteh, they made a Seudah, the women brought all their nursing babies to Sarah and said to Sarah, "Nurse our babies. We want to see you nursing the babies." Why? Shehoyu Oimrus. Because there were people who were saying, "Lo yolda Sarah. Sarah never gave birth. She's an old lady, she can't give birth." Ela asufi heviru min ashuk. They found a kid in the street. They adopted the kid. They took the kid home, and she's making up a story now that she gave birth. And if that's true, she won't be able to nurse. And she's not really nursing the kid. It's all a bluff. So they brought their babies to see if Sarah could nurse their babies. If she can nurse their baby, then she can nurse her own baby. The pasuk says in Parshas Toldos, Ela told this Yitzchak ben Avram. These are the descendants of Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham hailid es Yitzchak. Avraham bore Yitzchak. To which the obvious question is, why is the pasuk repeating itself? The pasuk said, Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. So why is the pasuk repeating itself and saying Avram hailed as Yitzchak? We already know Yitzchak ben Avram. So if Yitzchak ben Avram, then obviously Avram hailed as Yitzchak. Who has the question? Rashi. How does Rashi answer the question? He brings a chazal. Where does he bring a chazal from? From Maseches Bava Metzia. The same chazal. But how does Rashi quote the chazal there? Rashi says the following. Lefi shehoyu leitzonei hador oimrim. The Leitzane Hador used to say, "May Avimelech nisabra Sarah." Sarah gave birth, but Avraham Avinu wasn't the father. Avimelech was the father. What's the raya? Sharei kama shonim shosim Avraham, because she lived many years with Avraham, but nisabra many, she never became pregnant from him. So what did the Rebbeinu Shlomim do? Says the Gemara, Rebbeinu Shlomim saw clasped upon him Yitzchak Damon Avraham. He made Yitzchak an exact copy in his looks, like Avraham Avinu. V'heidu akel Avraham heidu Yitzchak. And if, this was the biggest testimony that Avraham was the father of Yitzchak. He looked exactly like Avraham. And that's what's written in the Pasuk, says the Chazal. Yitzchak ben Avraham. Yitzchak was definitely the son of Avraham. They told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, because we have a proof that Avraham hailed as Yitzchak. When you think about it, it's Meshuggah Stira going on here. Why? In the first Rashi, Rashi quotes the Gemara, and how does Rashi understand? That they came along and that they said, that what? That Avraham and Yitzchak never gave birth to. Avraham and Sarah, sorry, never gave birth to Yitzchak. They found a kid and they said the kids are their kid. The second Rashi, what does Rashi say, quoting the Gemara? Yeah, Sarah was the mother, but Avraham wasn't the father, Avimelech was the father. In the first Rashi, what does Rashi say? Yei Shomrim! There were people who were saying. In the second Rashi, what does Rashi say? Leitzanei Hadoir. The Leitzim were saying it. So if it was the Leitzim who were saying it, so why doesn't Rashi say in the first Rashi that the Leitzim were saying it? And what was the Taina? The answer is very simple. It says, Rabbi Yabes, Alevechik of Boston, Zechatelek of Rocha, and Meridik of Pshat here. He says there were two types of misnagdim to Avraham Avinu and to Sarah, and to everything that Avraham Avinu and Sarah were doing. There were two different groups of people. The first group of people, they were non-believers. They said, you're telling us and spinning us a story, there was a miracle here, a woman of her age, a man of his age, had a child. Come on! They found a kid in the street and they're lying, and they're saying that God made a miracle. Avraham wasn't the father, Sarah wasn't the mother, and it's a Baba Maisa. Now that was a Lashon Hara. That was a Rechilas. But it made sense. Avraham was 100 years old. Sarah was also close to that age. People of that age don't have children. There was a ness, and they denied the ness. But it was a denial which still makes sense. Therefore, what does Chazal say? Rashi says, "Hayu Oimrim." There were people who said. But then there was another group of people. The second group of people said, no, Sarah gave birth. But Avraham wasn't the father, Avimelech was the father. That's shtus. That's narishkeit. Avraham couldn't have children. Avraham had children from Hagar, which is a clear raya that Avraham wasn't sterile, he could have children. It makes more logic to say that an old man has a child than an old woman. There are elderly men who have children, and no elderly women after a certain age who have children. So to say that Sarah gave birth, but Avraham wasn't the father, they're idiots. They're fools. Says Rashi, Litzonis. What's Litzonis? Empty words, stam narishkeit. Avraham and Sarah represent something in Yiddishkeit. Avraham and Sarah, besides being individuals, Avraham and Sarah represent concepts in Yiddishkeit. Avraham represents divine discipline. Avraham represents Shulchan Aruch. Avraham represents Shas. Shulchan Aruch, which is Machmi and Halacha. Shas, which is difficult to learn. Shulchan Aruch, which is Machai of a person to do certain pa'ulas at certain times. It's not easy. Shas, which you have to break your head over in order to understand what's going on. Avraham Avinu represents Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Ishus, Hilchas Macholos Asuros. Things which aren't flexible. Total commitment to the Borei Olam. Even when it's difficult. Even when it means you're going to have to suffer to do it. Avraham Avinu was mefasim in the entire world the concept of Kabbalas El Baruch Shemayim. Of doing something even when it's difficult. Sora is the mother. Sora represents the other side of Yiddishkeit. Sora represents the experiential of Yiddishkeit. Sora represents the ava that a person sometimes feels towards the Borei Olam. Yiddishkeit isn't just Shulchan Aruch. Yiddishkeit is Einik Shabbos. Yiddishkeit is Yom Tov. Yiddishkeit is even a lechaim between the fish and the meat. There's an experiential side to Yiddishkeit. There are two types of Jews. There are Jews who say there is no future for an Avraham and there's no future for a Sarah. In today's day and age, there's no Shulchan Aruch, there's no breaking your head over Shas, there's no Shabbos, there's no Hilchas Shabbos, there's no Hilchas Ishus. There's no Hilchas Macharos Asuros. It's not relevant. There's no experiential of Shabbos. There's no experiential of Yiddishkeit. There's no emotional side to Yiddishkeit as well. It's all out of the window. It's wrong. But it's understandable. It makes sense. You can argue such an argument. But then there's another type of Jew. There's a type of Jew who says, yes, I don't mind Yiddishkeit, but give me Sora, don't give me Avraham. Let me prance around the bima after between the Chodaydi. That Yiddishkeit I want. Let me mach me shir chazanish on the lechaim between the fish and the soup on a Friday night. I'll finish two bottles because I'm a machmir on the experiential of Yiddishkeit. But Shachris Manda Kashmei, I don't mean my tefillin every single day. But I feel Jewish. The experience, the dancing around, the Simchas Torah going with sugar. Yeah, that yeah. Oh, Shachris in tefillin Manda Kashmei. Lamentes Malachas. Never heard of them. He wants a sorrow, but he doesn't want an Avraham. Say Chazal Letzonei Ador. That's Stam Tipshus. That's Stam Narishkeiten. The Jew is a Ivri. The Jew came with a package. He was Kairis Bris Ba'Ivar Anor with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Bris that he was Kairis with the Ribbono Shel Olam is a twofold Bris. It's Avraham and it's Sarah. The pasuk says in this week's parsha, that Avram comes with Yitzchak Vayovei El Hamokim Asher Omar Lo Elikim. He comes to the place where the Ribbono Shel Olam told him. That's where he has to do the Maisa Akedo. Vayiven shom Avraham es hamizbeach, and he built a mizbeach. Vayarech es haitzim, vayakod es Yitzchak benoi, vayosem es hamizbeach mimalo haitzim. But the mice at the end of the day, Avraham Avinu wasn't makriv Yitzchak. Where is the expression of the korban that Avraham Avinu brought in reality? He built a mizbeach, but he didn't bring a korban lechura. The mice at the end of the day didn't do anything. So most of the mafoshim understand that the korban was that he wanted to do. The Rebbe Yisrael stopped him at the last minute. But that itself is called a sacrifice. The fact that he was willing to do it. But we find a very fascinating thing going on here in the Chumash, if we read the Chumash. Just read the Psukim, there's something very fascinating going on here. The Pasuk says that the Rebbein Yisraelim says to Avraham Avinu, Kach nois bin chois yichidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchok v'lech lecho al Eretz HaMaria. Take your son Yitzchok, go to Eretz HaMaria. V'ha'aleihu shom lo'oilo alachadeh horim asher'im alecha. And you're going to offer him up as a sacrifice in a certain place where I'm going to tell you. V'ayash. So what did the Rebbein Yisraelim say to Avraham Avinu? Take Yitzchok, take him to a certain place and sacrifice him. What does Avraham Avinu do? Says the next pasuk. Vayashkim Avram Babayk. Avram gets up in the morning. Vayach Vayshes Chamayra. He saddles up the mule. Vayikach Eshnei Na'orav Itoy. He takes with him his two Na'orim. He takes with him the people who are the closest people to him. The two people who are closest to him. Say Chazal, who were the two Na'orim? One was his son Yishmael. There is nobody closer to a father than a son. And the second one was Eliezer Evid Avrom. Doilo Mashke Miteirosei Shal Rebbe, the Talmud Muvak of Avrom Avinu. Ve'et Yitzchak Benoi. And Yitzchak as well. The Rebbein Yisraelim said, take Yitzchak, he takes three people with him. Yitzchak and Yishmael and Eliezer. Why does he take Yishmael and Eliezer with him? Because it wasn't an easy journey, Chazal say, to get from where he was to Har HaMoriah. There were mountains, say Chazal. There were valleys. There were snakes. There were scorpions. There were wild bands of Knainim who wanted to kill him. He needed help. So who do you take when you need help? His closest friends he took with him. Eliezer and Yishmael. They were the guys. They'd been together. Always. And they, together with Avraham Avinu and with Yitzchok, struggle all the way to Har HaMoriah. And without them, Avraham and Yitzchok would never have got to Har HaMoriah. No way! And then the pasuk says, "Bayom Ashlishi." 3 days. 3 days means 3 days and three nights. They're traveling. Vayisa Avraham Esayno Vayaras Hamoki Merochek. All of a sudden, he sees, "Oh, Dalton, there, Har HaMoriah." Vayomer Avraham El Ne'orov. Avraham turns round to who? Ne'orov, to Yishmael. And to Eliezer, and he says, Shvu lochem peren chamoya. You guys stay here with the mule. V'ani v'ana nelchad kevin ishtachve. And I and Yitzchok will carry on and go and do what we have to do in Har HaMoriah. V'noshuvo aleichem. And there'll come a day when we'll come back to you. Don't worry. This was the korban of Avraham Avinu. You have two people who are the closest people to you. They're your buddies. They're your friends. They're the people who are you. They made you into a certain degree into what you are, and they got you to where you are. Without them, you wouldn't have got there. And then all of a sudden, you turn around to them and you say to them, guys, I love you. I love you dearly. Shvu lochem poi imachamo. But I have a different direction. I have a different route. I'm going on a different path, and therefore we have to part ways. Shvu lechem poim achamor. V'na shuvu aleichem. The friendship's not over. I'll come back to you. In the future. At this point in time, I have to part ways with you. I have to leave you. We were sitting in Chicago. We were watching these films and watching, looking at these pictures. And Rav Elopian turned round to this individual and he said, "You were close friends, you were buddies. You still have a keshe with Rav Nathan Tzvi?" And he said, yeah, of course. I mean, he says, "Oh, keshe." He comes to Chicago for the yeshiva. He says, and he sees me, hugs me, kisses me. And but keshe? He says, "Today, yeah." And you know, Baran said to him, and all the years, he said, "Well, look, I took one direction, he took another direction." Every single maspid who spoke at the Levaya, anybody you meet in the street and you start talking about the Mirror of Shiva, they all say the same thing. His Avos Yisrael, without distinction, his love of every Jew. I venture to suggest something, Rabbi Yisrael. The question has come up here in the Beis HaMedrash, as somebody put it. How long does it take from a Neiti Finkel to become a Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel? It's not a question of how long it takes. It's not time that it takes. It takes something else. It takes the ability of being able to make the sacrifice of saying to the society and to the friends, the close friends who got you to where you are. And it's very possible that without them, you wouldn't be sitting here in Leivaria. But if you want to become the next generation of Mirror Rosh Shivas, it's not time. It's the ability to turn around and to say, Shvu lachem poyim hachamoyah. You stay here, I'm going somewhere else. Nashuv aleichem. When I become Mirror Rosh Yeshiva, I'll hug you, I'll kiss you, I'll be your best friend. But for the next 30 years, Shvu lachem poyim hachamoyah. Your place is over here with them. You, I'm somewhere else. I'm going somewhere else. And if you don't have the ability of Shvu lachem poyim hachamoyah, you can spend 30 years learning, you can spend 50 years learning, you will not become a Mirror Rosh Yeshiva. V'achai yitein el liboy. The Mirror Rosh Yeshiva Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, as the Mashgiach said, proves to us that every single kid here can become Gadol B'Yisrael. Because he was no different than anybody here. But only b'tnai that you're willing to make the sacrifice of Shvu lachem poyim hachamoyah. If you're not willing to make that sacrifice, it's not going to work. And I want to add on one point, and I want to finish with this, and I want to tell you a personal anecdote. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I was traveling to America. In Ben Gurion Airport, I got upgraded to business class. It was an El Al plane. My seat, the business class in El Al on that particular plane worked in the following way. There were three parallel rows, each row with two seats. I got a seat in the middle. There were two seats, one next to the other, in the middle block. I get on the plane the last minute, as usual, and I go to my seat, and on the other side of the aisle, there's another two seats, right? I look around, who's sitting there? Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg's sitting there, so he's sitting next to me, except there's an aisle separating us, and next to him is the younger man, who's his gabba, Sandy, who goes with him everywhere. The gabba knows me, comes across to me, and he says, tells me the following story. He says, Rav Scheinberg is going to America for the yeshiva dinner. However, he was meant to be traveling with a group of people, with his son, Reb Simcha, and with others. But there was a mess up with the tickets, and they never got on the plane. So he's on the plane by himself with Rav Scheinberg. Fine. I sit down, Scheinberg sitting there in his talus and his tefillin, and we take off. After about an hour, the gabba comes to me, and he's a friend of mine. He comes to me and he says, "I have been awake." He says, "We had a terrible night last night with the Roshiva. I've been awake," he says, "a long time. I'm falling asleep, but I can't leave the Roshiva on his own." He says, "Are you willing to do me a big favor? Let me sleep for a couple of hours and you look after him." So I said, "Fine, just tell me what to do." He said, "Nothing. The only thing is," he said, "he's lucid and he's, you know, Baruch Hashem. But he sometimes gets confused, and he may ask you the same question a few times. Don't get upset, don't get scared about it. People of that age. I said, fine. He probably stretched himself out somewhere, and he was asleep. He was out like a light, and Rav Scheinberg sitting next to me, in his tefillin, and he's mumbling. And he's mumbling, and he's mumbling, and he's mumbling, and he's mumbling. All of a sudden, he turns around to me, and he looks at me, and I say to him, Shalom Aleichem, Rosh Shiva. And he looks at me, and he says to me, who are you? So I introduce myself. I have a brother-in-law who is a very, very close Talmud of his. So I said, I'm so-and-so's brother-in-law. So he said, oh, and your brother-in-law made a chasna, married off a daughter a few months ago. I was there. I said, yeah, I was there as well. So he said, oh, very nice. And he says, and who are you? And I reminded him of certain occasions when I'd been by him and spoken to him, and he immediately remembered. He remembered my father-in-law wasn't. And then he said to me, you know, when you get to my age, you get confused a bit. So I said to him, halavai at your age, because I filled out his immigration card to America, so I saw exactly how old he was, and he was 90, came out 90 at the time. And I said, well, halavai at your age, I should be as clear as you are, I'll be doing okay. So he says to me, no, he says, I'm confused. He says, for example, I've got no idea why I'm going to America. Perhaps you know why I'm going to America. So I said, yeah, we're going to the dinner. He said, that's right, I'm going for the yeshiva dinner. And a number of times during those few hours, he asked me why he's going to America, and he apologized for asking, but he said, you know, and then, and he's mumbling the whole time. But now we're good friends, right? So I said to him, Rosh Shiva, what are you saying? What are you doing? And he looked at me and he said, what am I doing? I'm in the middle of the Shveres Sugi in Bava Kama. And he carried on. He was saying to himself, the Gemara and the Rashi and the Tesh, he was learning Bava Kama, Balpa. Then he said to me, young man, I want to tell you something. He said, you've seen over the last few hours that there are certain things that I don't remember. However, he said, it's very interesting. I can tell you the name of every single shul in the Bronx when I was a kid. And there were over 200 shuls in the Bronx when I was a kid. And I can tell you the name of every single shul. And I cannot remember why I'm going to America. So what's the answer? He said, the answer is that when you get to a certain age, you don't remember short-term things. Short-term memory fails. But long-term memory is no problem. He grabbed my hand and he said to me, young man, finish Shas when you're young! And you'll remember it when you're my age and you're forgetting why you're going to go to America. Years, the man finishes Shas every Simchas Torah. He walks around in Torah Oba, that kofa's finishing off Nida. 7 blat a day, 70 years. He told me this. And you know what he said to me? He said, young man, it's very difficult the first time. It gets easier the second time. By the 70th time, this is garnished. It's nothing. Mir Rosh Yeshiva spent his life devoting himself to telling his Talmidim, learn and learn and finish and learn and finish and learn. V'hachai yitein alibo. There isn't a bocha here, in this room, not one, who cannot become the Mir Rosh Yeshiva. Not one. You don't have to have the great head. You don't have to, have two things. You have to have the ability to be able to say Shvu lochem poi imachamor, and you have to have the maturity to understand that what you have the time and the capacity to be able to do at this point in your lives without the oil of Panosa and the oil of Mishpacha, you will never get another chance. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending us a baskel, the baskel that the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending us is saying to us, turn around, every single one of us, turn around and say to those Yeah, you're good friends. Yeah. Maybe I'm only here in Leif Aryeh because of you guys. But Shvu lechem poyam achamor. You stay with the mule. I'm going somewhere else now. V'nashuv aleichem. When I'm Mir Roshiva, we'll be best friends. But until then, let me be. And sit and finish another daf and another daf and another daf and another daf. And then he meets Hashem. In 30 years' time, in 40 years' time, we'll be talking about a room full of G'dayli Yisrael.